People are very interested today in genealogies. You know, there's a big website that advertises that you can get on there and find all about your history and where you came from and where your great 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 grandparents lived and what they did. And some want to know, of course, if they're descendants of certain people, maybe descendants of royalty. Genealogy was very important in biblical times as well. William Barclay, in his commentary on Matthew, wrote this about genealogies. The reason for this interest in pedigrees was that the Jews set the greatest possible store on purity of lineage. If in any man there was the slightest admixture of foreign blood, he lost his right to be called a Jew and a member of the people of God. The scriptures place a lot of emphasis on the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Remember, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 7:14 that Jesus was a member of the tribe of Judah, of which the scriptures mention nothing about priesthood. Priests had to show that they were descendants in the tribe of Levi. Genealogies were important. They were very important in the time of Christ. Padfield's reference on genealogies notes that there's four reasons, at least, for the recording of Christ's lineage and what they prove, why we have them in our Bibles. The first one is that Christ fulfilled God's promise to Abraham. This was a hugely important reason for including genealogies. We go back all the way to the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 17, we read about the promise made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 4 and following. Genesis 17, beginning in verse 4. Moses writes, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." This is about God talking to Abram. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, Matthew begins his genealogy by stating that Christ was a descendant of Abraham. Notice Matthew chapter 1, and I would leave that marked in your Bibles because we'll be referring several times to Matthew's account of the genealogy of Christ. Of course, Luke does it as well, but we'll be focusing on Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, notice how Matthew begins his genealogy. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So there at the very top, we might say, Matthew says that Christ was a descendant of Abraham. Now, this shows that Jesus was of the nation and the family out of which the Messiah was to come. Because the Messiah was to come through Abraham. It was through Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by the coming of a Messiah. So here, Matthew's account says that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. So that was extremely important to the people in the first century and, of course, to us as well. It was promised to Abraham that the Christ would descend from him. A few pages over in Genesis 22, we see this promise given to Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 18. Again, this is God speaking to Abraham. Verse 18 says of Genesis 22, "In your seed," talking about Abraham's, All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. How? By the coming of the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. So here we have one extremely important reason, and this would be enough, even if there weren't any other reasons, was that Christ was the Messiah who fulfilled that promise to Abraham all the way back in the book of Genesis. So Matthew starts his genealogy by showing that Jesus Christ was a descendant, was a physical descendant of Abraham. The next reason that we have these genealogies, and again, just as important as the first, was that Christ had the right to be the king on David's throne. Again, we go back to the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we read about David's throne being established. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Notice that? I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Here's God promising to David to establish his throne forever. But how was that going to happen? Many people today have a very faulty, false idea of how that was going to happen. Well, Matthew's genealogy, back in Matthew chapter 1, informs us that Jesus, the Christ, was a descendant, a physical descendant of David. Mentions it twice. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we just read that the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The Christ was a descendant of David. Notice verse 6. And Jesse, he's giving the ancestors, the descendants. Verse 6 says, "And Jesse begot David the king." There's the list. Jesus was a physical descendant of David. Now, how does this tie together? Now we go to Luke chapter 1. Here we see the angel Gabriel's statement to Mary about the child she was carrying. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. A very important statement, by the way. We'll begin reading in verse 32. Verse 32 of Luke chapter 1. We should start in verse 31. So the angel says to Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now remember what was said back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David's throne would be established forever. Now we're seeing how that came about. We're seeing why Matthew has his genealogies. Jesus is a direct descendant, a physical descendant of David. Now, the Bible says Christ is now on David's throne, right now. He's on David's throne reigning. Of course, this was an important point of Peter and the other apostles' sermon in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 29. Remember, this is the day of Pentecost. All the Jews are gathered in Jerusalem. Peter and the other apostles stand up. Remember, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're able to speak to these multitudes, and this is what they say. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Matthew's genealogy shows that Christ had the right to be king on David's throne. And he was reigning on that throne in heaven. And that throne would be an eternal kingdom, as was promised back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and as was promised to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Now, right on the heel of that, the third reason for that genealogy is to show that Christ's throne is not on earth. Here's where most people in the religious world make the mistake. Yes, Christ is reigning on David's throne, but it is not on earth, nor was it ever meant to be an earthly kingdom and an earthly throne. One of the reasons for that genealogy is to show us that that cannot happen, nor did it happen. Back in Matthew chapter 1, our genealogy, we go to verse 12 now of Matthew chapter 1. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Why is that important? Why is that important? Christ is a descendant, as we go down the list, all the way to verse 16. We see, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Christ was a descendant, according to Matthew, of Jeconiah. Well, people might say, well, so what? What does that have to do with anything? Jeconiah would never have a descendant sitting on the throne of David. That was a promise that came from God. That Jeconiah would never have a descendant sitting on the throne of David ruling in Judah. That is a very important part. Let's go to Jeremiah and see that. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah 22, verse 24 is where we'll start. Jeremiah 22, beginning in verse 24. Verse 24 says, as I live, says the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, that was another name for Jeconiah, king of Judah, were the signet on my right hand, yet I would pluck you off, and I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life, and into the hand of those who face you fear, the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of the Chaldeans. So I will cast you out, and your mother who bore you, into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they desire to return, there they shall not return. Verse 28, is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol, a vessel in which is no pleasure? Why are they cast out, he and his descendants, and cast into a land which they do not know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. God tells Jeconiah, no descendant of his would ever sit on the throne of David ruling in Judah. Who was a descendant of Jeconiah? Matthew chapter 1, verse 12 says, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ cannot, nor would he ever, nor will he ever, rule, sit on David's throne in Judah. Never do it. If he does, God's a liar. God is a liar. But God promised that no descendant of his would ever sit on David's throne ruling in Judah. But we just read that Christ is sitting on David's throne ruling. Where is he ruling? We just saw in Acts 2, he's ruling in heaven. Why? Because his kingdom is not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. As heaven is a spiritual place. Christ is ruling now. We saw that in Acts 2. The book of Revelation says he's ruling as well. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says this. To him who overcomes, this is Christ talking, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down, past tense, with my Father on his throne. So Jesus, by the time of Revelation, was already sitting on the throne. He was ruling. But he wasn't ruling in Judah. Why? Because he's a descendant of Jeconiah. He cannot rule on a physical throne in Judah. So his throne is not on earth, but it's in heaven. In John's account of the gospel, in John chapter 18, we read these words beginning in verse 36. John chapter 18, verse 36. Verse 36 says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from there." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." He says, my throne is not on earth. There was never any plan for Christ to rule on a physical throne of David in this world. That was never God's plan. He is ruling, he's reigning, and it's on David's throne, but it's in heaven. And that's where he's always going to reign. He's never coming back to this earth to set up a physical kingdom and rule there in Judah. It's forbidden. And Matthew's genealogy shows that. The fourth and last reason for this genealogy is to show the importance of both Gentiles and women. Show the importance of Gentiles and women. Of course, in the first century, Jewish people looked down on all Gentiles and all women. Even Jewish women were looked down upon. But this genealogy shows how important Gentiles and women are and were to God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Uh-oh, there's a woman in the genealogy of Christ. Christ was a descendant of Rahab. Remember the idea or the context, the history? She had been a prostitute in Jericho. So there was one woman who was in the genealogy of Christ. Christ was a descendant of Ruth. Verse 5. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile. She was a Gentile woman. Remember, she was from the land of Moab. She wasn't a Jew at all. Christ was a descendant of Tamar. Verse 3. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar was an adulteress. These are mentioned for probably several reasons, but one is to show that Christ is the Savior of Jew and Gentile, male and female. He's the Savior of all. And it makes no difference. In Galatians chapter 3, we have these words left for us in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Those distinctions aren't important. Everyone can be saved. Jew and Gentile, male and female, free and slave, it makes no difference. Anyone who comes to Him in faith and obedience can be saved. Going one more time back to Luke chapter 1 as we finish. In Luke chapter 1, verse 67, this is the prophecy of Zacharias. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life." That's what Christ came to do. To deliver us from Satan, from the power of sin. And those genealogies are of extreme importance in showing that Christ was the fulfillment of Abraham's promise, that through Him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that Christ had a right to be king on David's throne, that Christ's throne is not on earth but in heaven, and that Christ came to save everyone, Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free. Any and all who by faith come to Him in obedience will be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Christ came to save sinners. He's the Messiah. He came to set us free. He came to redeem us. And that message has not changed since the first century. Let's be thankful for that genealogy and for all that it shows us, for all that it proves, for all the truths and the principles that it sets forth. This morning, if you have a need to come and answer that great invitation call, maybe it is time that you answer that call to obey the gospel, be born again, have your sins washed away. Maybe it's that time you've decided that you haven't been living right and you need to confess wrong. Whatever the reason, we encourage you and want you to come as we stand and sing this song.